Yes.
All right. We're good. I have 6 o'clock. I think everybody else is.
I think we're okay. Close enough.
6 p.m. on Monday, May 21st, 2018. We'll call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with roll call. Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Hunnell?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Kornowski is here. Rapp?
Here.
Noor?
Here.
Nyberg?
Here.
Item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. If there's any changes to the agenda, please state what you'd like those to be, or I'll entertain a motion to approve. A motion?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
It's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Item number three, election of chair. I've successfully pretty much exhausted all opportunity to continue as chair based on the current law. So we will entertain any nominations for the next chair. I do have a nomination. I nominate Heather Noor to be the next chair, given her interest in the community and some of the extracurricular work that she has volunteered to do over the past year to help the Plan Commission.
Do we need to second your nomination?
I believe so, yeah.
I will second that.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Heather is the chair as of next meeting. Item number four, election of vice chair. That is currently Howard, right?
Yep. Have I reached my term limits for vice?
I don't think you have.
I don't have any for vice chair.
Do you wish to continue?
I would if no one else is nominated.
Itching to do it?
Pardon?
If no one else is itching to do it.
If no one is just really wanting to do it.
Okay.
It's pretty easy. Wes is always here.
Yeah.
So I have to be here now?
Yeah. So I'll entertain a motion to approve Howard as the vice chair.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
I should probably abstain.
We're not going to re-vote it. It's
fine. I know.
Item number five, minutes from April 23rd, 2018. If there are any changes to those minutes or edits, please say what those are and we can make the appropriate changes. And if there are none, I will entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve the minutes, can I please?
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes carry. Item number six, announcements. Any announcements from staff?
There's a few I'm going to discuss under item number nine. However, I did want to bring up the Village Valley petition for the decommissioning of Green Bay Correctional Institute. If you do go, I'm just going to pull up quick, go to our website, right on the home page. It loads. Right on the home page, there's a button. If it doesn't load, there's a picture of the current facility, and you just click on it. It'll bring you to a link, and you can it'll bring you here to this website. Here. You read through it, and then you can just sign your name. So pretty easy. And there's a submit button after you sign your name, but. So pretty easy. Encourage you if you choose to, if you're in support of it, take a look on our website and you can do this. We also have paper copies here at the Village Hall.
It's mobile enabled too. I use my mobile phone, so if you don't have a computer, Andy.
Yes.
And I'll also you don't need to be an Alloway resident.
Right, it's open to all Brown County residents.
One announcement that I'd just for my own sake is, when is the Village of Alloway going to be picking up brush at the curbside? Thought that was going to happen last week.
They worked on it last week, and they'll be continuing this whole week.
When's the deadline?
I think the deadline was this weekend.
Is it this past weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
I just have one further announcement. I believe I brought to the Planning Commission a meeting that was held by the League of Municipalities that was talking about shared revenue and expenditure restraints. They're refocusing or regathering individuals that are interested, communities that are over the population of 10,000, and they're going to do an urban alliance policy forum. So basically they're going to be looking at the way shared revenue and expenditure restraints are set up for communities over 10,000. So that's coming up on June 7th at the Paper Valley Hotel.
Are you going?
I've got another meeting that day, so our finance director is going to go.
Are there any proposals to change the shared revenue program?
I think that might be part of what they're going to be discussing that particular pair on that date. They got a lot of feedback. They had all these meetings throughout the state of Wisconsin gathering insights into the challenges that communities are faced, especially those that are, you know, developed and unable to expand. So it's there, you know, these laws have been on the books forever and have never changed the way the formula has been put together. So I think they're starting to see the light.
Good. Any other announcements from planning commissioners? We have a new commissioner with us tonight. Matt, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Matthew Honnold. I'm a fairly new resident to Alloway. I actually purchased a house last August, and I'm just looking to get involved in the community.
Great. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
If there are no other announcements, I'll move on to item number 7, public appearances. For those of you that are in the audience and you want to speak, we will be opening up discussion on item number 8 if you're here to specifically talk about item number 8. If you have just general comments or questions, you can certainly step up to the podium now, state your name and address, and we will listen.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. A couple things. It was announced that the Green Bay Correctional Institute, the prison is going to be, there's a petition to have it closed. The petition is not accurate. It says that there's 64 acres of riverfront property and that type of thing. It's a lot of hype. If the village is going to go ahead and people are going to sign a petition to do something, the petition should be accurate. So the plan commission should know that there's not 64 acres, there's 50 acres. It's not waterfront property. It's between Riverside and Webster. And the really good property is already under development by the village. There's going to be, it was just approved, the bike trail is going to go around the retention pond for the water and connect to the trail. So of the 14 acres that are really, really good property, that land is ready to go. It's owned by the state DNR, and the petition should be to have the DNR sell us the property immediately so it can be developed next year. We shouldn't have to wait 10 years to develop the land while they're figuring out what to do with the prison. That property should be developed right away. It's been fallow for a long time. So those 14 acres are ready to go. There's a trail going in already scheduled for next year as part of the condo complex that this commission approved last month and the village board approved last week. So I'd like to see that developed. There's another 5 acres that's also owned by the DNR right there that is waterfront property that could be developed, but from an economic development standpoint and from a comprehensive plan, those 14 acres are ready to go, and it could be put into condominiums or whatever an appropriate mixed use would be for that site. The state DNR also owns a nice strip of land that's currently used as a parking lot behind the Shank building next to the Mariner, but there's no way to get down to that. While the village is purchasing the 14 acres, they should also purchase that land from the DNR and then work out some sort of swap so that people can have a way to get down to the waterfront without having to cross private property. Right now, there's no way for anybody from the Mariner Hotel all the way down to Riverside to West St. Joseph Street to get to the waterfront legally. The village has the right to possibly purchase that from the state DNR and work it into the comprehensive plan and make sure that we have access in a way that was envisioned through the corridor study that was approved. Thanks.
Thank you.
Would you be accepting comments on 8 before the petitioners make their presentation so I can say what I have to say and be gone?
I think we're fine with making a special dispensation as it's been the rules prior. Yeah, we can do that. That's fine. We understand everybody's got things to do. But then we will also suspend the rules after the presentation by the petitioner. So if there's any additional comments, we'll take those. But we can make that exception.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any general comments for the commission? Okay. Moving on to item number 8. Action regarding petition from Dan Rorty requesting preliminary plan development district approval for restaurant and brewery on parcel AL-44 located at 1649 South Webster Avenue, the former Village Hall property. And before we get started, I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules. Motion.
Second.
The motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Clarence.
My name is Clarence. I'm 2680 South Webster Avenue. I think it's appropriate for those that don't know me to give you a little of my background first. Prior to my retirement 25 years ago, I served 24 years as a village administrator. So I've got a pretty good knowledge of the village, and I have an intense interest in this project. And I'd like to give you a little history of that. Slightly before my retirement, we addressed the shortcomings of the old site, which is under discussion tonight, for upgrading, getting building up to code, and perhaps building a new DPW complex. And that got shelved, and then I retired. And then one of the board members plus several staff members said we should build new preliminary estimate of $4 million. By the time they threw the process of designing and bidding, it was $6 million. And by the time they finished it, it was almost $8 million, and nobody was paying attention. And if it hadn't been for that gentleman right there, it would have been more, because he kind of stuck his nose in maybe where it didn't belong, but at least he slowed them down a little bit, because it, as you can tell, the project hurt me quite a bit. To my knowledge, there was no attempt to sell that property as is when the building was still there. It was demolished at a cost, I think, in excess of $100,000. Then they found that it was contaminated, and they spent another $100,000 or more, right, to rectify it, but they didn't. They merely capped it, so then there was further problems, and then they had to spend more money on remedying it. And then it has sat idle now for about 11 years. For the most part, municipalities are not good realtor sellers, and it sat there. It lost all that revenue all those years, plus all the extra money put in there. I think it, I haven't asked to check the numbers, but I'm suspecting right now that they're selling it probably for less than what they invested just to remedy it in order to sell it, which is this wasted taxpayer money.
Smith?
The proposed use is maybe not the very best use, but I think it's a very good use for that property. And I'm here primarily to urge you to approve it. Don't put any more obstacles in the way of the developers. Now, I'm not, I just have a reputation of not anti-developer, but I was very cautious with developers. So I'm not in his favor. I don't know him, but it's a good use, and I'm urging you to approve it. Let's get that line back on the tax roll where it belongs. Thank you for your attention. I'll stay up for a little while yet. If anybody have any questions on me. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll entertain a motion to return to regular session. There's a motion.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay, we are back in regular session. So I listed off what the agenda item was already. Typically what we'll do is we'll have the petitioner come up and maybe talk about any changes that were made. So if a representative from the petitioner could step up. I believe this is coming back to us, one, because there's a change with the addition of the restaurant, and two, because what we approved a year ago? Is that expired? What was that? Was that a conditional use? Okay.
It was a PDD.
It was a PDD? Okay. I'll speak up. Okay, perfect. So I guess before we'll dive into questions, we'll hear what changes you've made or what you're planning to make.
My name is Dan Rorty. I'm an architect with Dimension 4. As you stated, the project was approved last year to move forward, and it represents pretty much the same project that we sort of started with in a sense. There was a proposal, and we were starting with about a 10,000 square foot building. Through a number of changes and adjustments throughout, though, it cut down to being about half that size. And that allowed us to use the site differently and so on. We went forward. But in the process, the owners found some challenges with the financing in terms of the size of the project and how everything comes together for that to be a viable project from a banker's standpoint. And in that means they met Deliers Construction and brought them on as a partner, and both a business partner as well as a contracting partner. And that allowed the exploration and discovery of a restaurant that can be attached to this. The two businesses would be somewhat symbiotic. In fact, they'd share a corridor, a connection link that would connect the back parking with the front area, and going one way or the other would put you in the restaurant or in the brewery. And that then ultimately was the biggest decision. We've moved the building around, and the civil guys came back and said, isn't that right where we had it last year at the earlier? And said, yeah, that's just about it. With that, 60 feet to the south part of the site was divvied off and is held in the alleyway in the community's possession yet for possible development by another party. We are accommodating that as well, one of the changes, and that allows the driveway we have to the south off of Webster to be used as a way to get into the south lot and then also circle back. I'm going to step over to the screen and point to some things, and I'll try to talk as loud as I can.
Oh, good.
So now I don't have to step over to the screen. Okay, the red light, this is the initial brewery here that was set sort of in this location. Well, by moving it this way, 60 feet, we were able to free up this portion here, and that represents the restaurant. It's a local restaurant. It's the second location they'll have in the community.
Third location
they'll have in the community. They're excited about the possibilities of being in here. Both will have outdoor terraces toward Webster. You'll see them here in front of each of the buildings. There is a main entrance that will come in to this corridor or transition area that will allow you to come in either directly to the brewery or up and into the restaurant area. Or now being able to access all the parking here in the back, come down, enter into that connection, go into the restaurant, or come into the brewery. This area here represents the brewery itself, the production area, with a small cooler out back and a loading dock along the side. As mentioned, this 60 feet on this side then has been partitioned off. And in order to work with all the different parties, there's allowance right here to make a connection into this area. You could even circle around in this area and come back out then at this location. And these parking spots would serve as possible parking for this business during business hours and would be always available to the restaurant and the brewery during their busy times. With the stormwater management, which we had located up in this corner, in the effort to accommodate the site to the south, we've shifted that as well to the south in this corner, and that still needs to be completely calculated for the entire land area again as to what's going to go on. Can we see the next slide? Yeah, who cares? Next one, too. But maybe the first one is missing. Is that?
Cover page.
Oh, there we go. Well, this isn't accurate of what it looks like now, because you need to imagine the restaurant over here to this side. It does capture the feel and look of the building. From the street, the restaurant will have all a stone facade with the windows and so forth, and the metals would occur around the sides and back. This is the site that we're talking about. This is the 60 feet that is reserved for another project. So now we can go forward to the plan page, perhaps. Keep going. Yeah. Next one. No, one more. There we go. So here we have the brewing section and the tap room. That is completely unchanged, except as it moves forward. Now, these toilets, right now, you come in off a hallway here to get into the toilets, but there's a possibility we will switch those toilets so that they'll actually be accessed right off of this corridor. We don't want to get too far ahead until we knew for sure where everything stood. Entrance into the restaurant, which has a large seating area and support areas for that restaurant, and then their kitchen here in the back. And then the next slide. While these are only of the brewery itself, up here we did get the restaurant detached. And though it looks like it's lower than the brewery, if you have the actual hard copies, you'll see that the restaurant roof is slightly higher than the others, and it allows for a fairly nice composition there. As mentioned, this is shown as stone here along the front. It extends the stone that started on the tap room. And I think that might have been the last page. Oh, yeah, the lighting stuff, which is something that would work out to be correct for what's needed for the site. Are there questions in general about this? We also have Delir's Construction represented, as well as David and Abby Malcolm.
I'm a little confused about the 60, the extra property. Is that being bought at the same time, or is that still going to stay in possession of the village?
That stays in possession of the village. It was originally a part of the entire transaction, and then it was changed to include less than 60 feet for the product that I just described. That 60 feet is the village's property.
And is there anybody interested in that now, or is that just something that's just out there?
I believe there's interest, and the village can address that.
Yeah, we are. It is for sale. We don't have a specific user in mind. We are hoping for some sort of like office or complimentary business that would work with the parking. Whereas the brewery and restaurant might be more busy and need more parking in the evening hours, our hope is to attract a business there that would be a more 9-to-5 type business. But we are open to anything at this moment. Everything that we've communicated with the Lears in Dimension 4 to this point has been in the hopes of that type of relationship with shared parking, shared access, that sort of thing, to allow the site to be marketable.
I have a question about the restaurant. Do you have an estimated seating capacity, or
Yes, I want to say we're at about 135-ish for the seating of the restaurant.
That'd be max.
Yeah, I had counted it out, and then there's seating out front for 50 or 60 potentially. No, that's not quite right. 40 to 50.
Can you show us where the seating outside is?
Sure. We'll go back to the site plan page. Got a little carried away there. There you go. So, for the tap room, we have this area here. What's going on here is there's actually a fence that comes all along this edge and actually extends over this area, which is a grass area. It was very important to the Malcolms from the very beginning that this be a family-oriented visit. And to do that, one of the things they did is provide some nice low windows along here so kids can see out, but you can eat outside. And then there's still a grass area where they envision potentially some lightweight activities going on. You may have seen these yard beanbag games where you can toss a beanbag into a series of holes and things like that. The restaurants is right in this area. It's a triangular shape right in front that is about 750 square feet, which would allow that 35 to 45 seats out there.
In regards to the front entry, right now it faces the northwest. Obviously, you're trying to have it face Webster Avenue. But is there any concern with the prevailing winds, especially in the winter?
We're not overly concerned. We're getting some shelter and so forth from this. We recognize that our winds would typically come in from this way in some of the storms we have. Frankly, we find some of the worst storms we get, though, in our areas, the northeast. And when they do come in from the northeast, that's what pushes the bay up the river and causes more problematic situations to occur. With that right there, it is a locked vestibule, airlocked vestibule in the sense that you've got the doors out here, and then as you get in, there's still another set of doors to get into the building. We do have some vegetation that's planted in that area, which would also help. When we looked at the other alternatives, the site greatly drove how things occurred. We ended up needing the loading dock basically on this side. With the site dropping off so significantly toward the back, we're able to keep this up at grade, which is up at street level, and we can get the truck down there and back into that particular location. And so with the loading dock kind of set in this area and then the brewing operations here, we were left with either can we come in the front or the side. And wanting to be close to the street and have tables in the front, that's what caused us to shift it slightly off then to the west side so that we can still have that and still have easy access to the parking that we do have to get in and out. Would we have done that if we had a whole different site and could have picked that right from the beginning? It might have been different, but it would have been driven by how the operation of the brewery needs to be to minimize disruptions to Webster and the neighbors. And we were able to do that here.
This might be maybe putting the cart before the horse at this point, but I don't see on the floor plan at all, like, mechanical space. Is there rooftop units or...
A couple of different things. And it's fine to put the cart before the horse, so long as it won't those darn Budweiser horses. This right here is a screened area on the roof. So we're able to move some of the mechanical stuff out onto the roof. And if we go back then a slide to the plan, in this area, this is actually a mezzanine here. It's set off to the top of the plan. It will sit over this portion of the building. Okay. And there is a stairwell that takes you up to that. By doing that, this here allows us to get the boiler in there for the brewery itself and also some other mechanical equipment. So we do have everything handled up off the ground and out of sight and convenient for the owner. They actually can walk out of the mezzanine here. This door takes you right out onto the roof. So it's even easy access for them and very safe that way too.
How high is the screening for the RTU? Is it 6 feet, 7 feet?
If we go back, forward slide. There we go. We're sitting right here, so the roof or the doorway would be right here. It looks like it's about 5.5 feet. So by the time you get to the street, that's a pretty formidable visual barrier. You're looking up quite a ways, and I think it's effectively about 7 feet.
So for the land assembly, Trevor, with the stormwater, is the village going to own the stormwater management if it's going to be on that 60-foot parcel, or how is that going to work? Or what is the stormwater management going to be?
We are, I think the way it looks now is that we'll divvy the treatment and the cost associated with that to the percentage of property occupied. So with the smaller parcel to the south, whatever percentage of site that's being treated for that, that will be the amount of cost that will go towards that stormwater. If I'm saying that clearly enough.
The expense goes with the property, right?
Right. Yeah, the majority of the stormwater would be on that property to the south. However, the cost will be split among the property owners.
Somewhat similarly, it's being planned so that access to the 60 feet is actually off of the brewery property. So where there is an amount here that the south parcel will use, they too will pay a portion of that for maintenance and so forth, the snow removal, and somehow there'll be an agreement as to how the whole thing gets paid and so on. So it's a rather nice symbiotic relationship and shows good sensibility toward planning, rather than having two or three storm ponds on this property because there's two or three businesses on the property.
So with that split, does that require a plat every subdivision, or how are you splitting off that 60, or was it already a unique parcel?
It's already a unique parcel.
Okay.
I'm sorry, is there a unique parcel? And back last fall when this was approved, first time, that it was actually three separate parcels at one time.
Sure.
And the two parcels that the brewery and restaurant are now occupy are now one parcel.
Okay.
I don't know if any of my colleagues have other questions or comments or things to come. No other questions?
Are we going to learn the name of the restaurant?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't know it, so okay. That's why they sent me up here. I'll pass a lie detector test.
You can plead innocent. You can plead. Okay.
In all fairness, it's really important that somebody is trying to find their way to do something to have a lot of privacy as they start that. And
yeah.
I haven't even pressed.
Yeah, I know.
Not that my secretary hasn't tried, but...
That's not our mission here anyway, I think.
Be nice to know, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but...
I'd like a chance or something. Maybe we can get Mike to give it up. But.
It's okay. It's not our...
Well, we covered a lot of architectural type questions and everything else from a year ago when we yep. discussed mm-hmm. this, and we were all in favor of the project at that time, of course. And I don't think there were many glaring concerns from our end. We covered the outdoor seating, you know, safety as far as bike traffic and bike access.
I think we discussed, you know, appropriate screening for headlights and traffic in the back, you know, because there's a residential area.
Everything we discussed, I think, carries through.
Yep. Yeah, we're not. Nothing else has changed, I don't think.
Loading dock. You know, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. The hours that the trucks mm-hmm. would be in and out was a concern for the neighbors. So that will carry forward, and you'll be a good neighbor with that.
I have a question actually for Trevor. Does what we see here fit in well with the plans for Webster Avenue to give enough room to have, you know, whether it be like a trail
up
there or a bike lane or something
like that? So, okay. It is, yes. And you can't see it very well on the plans in the screen after we scan them in. But if you look in your packets, you'll be able to tell a little bit easier. But the existing right-of-way is actually this solid line, I believe. And then this is set back. And that will include the future width that we believe will be needed to add the additional bike lane or sidewalk.
Thank you.
You guys okay with suspending rules? Is there anybody from the audience that would like to make comments about this project?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved, Ben.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Just please state your name and address for the recording.
Okay. Sure. Okay. My name is Don Johnson. I've been here before. 1622 Rustic Oaks Court. Seems like I just about live here. But anyway, I do have some concerns about... So what kind of restaurant are we talking about here?
Family-style restaurant.
Family-style restaurant. Okay, and what have you, maybe I should be talking to you folks, what kind of proposal do you have for handling your waste? My property is right directly behind what would be your restaurant, right below the hill. I'm concerned about smell. I'm concerned about trash buildup. The reason I bring this up, gentlemen, or people, is because every day, some of you know that I walk to McDonald's every single day in the morning. I pass a restaurant that's in operation, and every single day there's a bag of bread items tossed in that hopper. Every single day. Is there such a thing as a waste police in Alloway? I mean, this is terrible. And I've talked to Paul's Pantry about getting the drivers, about getting somebody to handle that, somebody to get it donated. Nothing has happened. And I know that this particular restaurant bakes fresh bread every day. The reason you know that is because you see a new bag of waste in the hopper every day. I'd like to see that addressed. Okay. With respect to the architectural drawing, I still don't agree 100% with the concept here. If you walk down Webster Street, you're walking now and you look, you only see one flat roof building. The rest of them are all gabled or hip roofed. And that's the way it is. Now we're going to have the second flat roof building in a short distance. It's probably okay, but it's not keeping with the neighborhood as far as I'm concerned. I would like to see a hopper or a dumpster behind this restaurant that's locked, and I'd like to see it emptied, not periodically, on a regular basis, so that we already have raccoons, occasionally a skunk, and I haven't seen any dogs, but we have seen raccoons and skunks, not run regular, but you do see them. And what are the hours of operation, sir? What are we talking here?
On the restaurant?
Yes.
They don't have them set yet, but on their other locations, you can't quote me exactly, but I think they're from 10 in the
morning. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing.
10 in the morning until 10 at night.
10 in the morning until 10 in the evening.
That's what they run at the other restaurant.
I do have some, we crossed this bridge with the brewery. We thought we had this thing all pretty well wrapped up. And now we're throwing a full-scale restaurant into the mix here. And it's a new set of hours. And I'm concerned with the sanitary policing of this property. But like I say, my property is right directly behind this restaurant. So I guess I've made my case. We're waiting for the Zimbabweans to start putting some beer, getting dry. But anyway, thanks for your time. Thank you, everybody. You've seen me before, and I'll be back here again. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Chaline, Shaline, Post Office Box 12206, Green Bay 07. And I'm in the process of building a home in that subdivision, and I do have a parcel of land that backs up to the corner of this property also. So I am a contingent. I'm a next-door neighbor, my landlord line. Anyway, that said, I do believe there are a lot of changes here compared to what I saw last year and what went through and got approved. So it does bring, arises a lot of questions for me. I guess, from what I understand, this is a storm water contention area or retaining area over on the upper right-hand corner.
Right here.
So that has been computed to handle all the property, including the vacant one that's not sold?
It will. These are just conceptual drawings at the moment, but based off of, I guess, correct me.
It's the same area that was there before for the entire site.
Okay.
The three parcel site.
But that will be a requirement as part of the construction. That will all be further reviewed as a separate permit.
Yeah, how many meetings does this issue come before this committee? Three or four? Where you have different stages?
Right. There will be one here, and it will go to the village board. And then, assuming approval there, it will come back to the planning commission and then go back to the village board for final approval.
Okay, thank you. I guess my concern or my question there is that if the village is still the owner of that vacant land, they have no idea how it's going to be used. And, of course, all water detention is calculated by the amount of water that flows off of the property. So, I don't know, are you projecting it to be all asphalt, or how are you projecting that?
We're assuming worst-case scenario, I guess, would be all asphalt, yes.
So that's the way you'll develop that pond. So with that being said, that'll cost more for the pond, and it'll be more expensive, and it'll hold more water. Being said, then that's shared as a percentage of square foot land. Is that what I heard you say before? How do you pay for that? Right now, the public property owners in the village are going to pay for that, aren't they?
That's still being worked out, but yes, essentially that's how.
And if you don't sell that land for another 11 years, it's going to be on the tax roll, and it'll be at the expense of the village residents.
That would be correct, yeah.
Okay, so with that said, is it calculated on per square foot of land, or how is it calculated?
It's off of, and we haven't finalized that, but I'm assuming it'd be off square foot of land.
Okay, I would think it would be interesting to see that agreement, and it would be interesting to have that looked at. I don't know if this is the meeting to do that at, or if it's at the city board or the village board, or where. I don't know where you're going to have these documents and all this detail, but I do believe that's a matter of concern and it should be looked at carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Then the parking. I believe I heard that's a 5,000 square foot restaurant.
That's correct.
Okay, and the seat capacity, I didn't hear a lot of confirmation, but they said about 130. I believe a 5,000 square foot restaurant could sit more than that. Are there any plans on the restaurant yet?
No.
So there's no detail, but yet we're supposed to approve this or vote on it.
So the purpose of this meeting and then the following meeting at the village board is conceptual. Detailed plans would be at the meetings that would take place after that.
Okay.
So you will have detailed plans prior to final approval, but right now we're just approving conceptually.
Okay.
Would this fit the neighborhood, surrounding uses, that sort of thing?
So with that then, there's not a lot of detail at this point in time other than it's a conceptual drawing and conceptual idea or plan. So I'll look at it from that perspective. So I guess from my standpoint, the restaurant's a big change from then what we had before. And with the hours 10 to 10, I don't know. I think we ought to be told exactly what those hours are. We're told it's a family restaurant, but you could have a sports bar that's a family restaurant. There's a lot of variety of family restaurants. If they're open from 10 in the morning, that means they're maybe not serving breakfast, but they could have a lunch and dinners, I'm assuming. So I think for us to make it, or for me to make a decision, I apologize, for me to decide, I need more detail. That's what I'm looking for. Can you give us more information? The other question I have is access to the south parcel that's owned by the city or the village. I apologize. I think you said actually has access off of the curb cuts and the driveways that are on this property that's being developed.
That's correct. There's the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess my question is I don't know if a financial institution will work on that other parcel and mortgage it without actual public access. Has that been addressed? Have you got indication that they would put a loan on that with this type of access?
There would be a perpetual shared ingress-egress easement agreement that would be established between the two properties.
Okay, well, a lender may and may not accept that. They've got a right to a loan on it. There's a lot of what-ifs there. I mean, that's a lot of stuff that's done like that. I'm not saying it's not been done before, but it brings up another question in my mind. The building design, of course, I can't tell much from that perspective. It was addressed about being a flat roof. I agree. I don't think that fits the neighborhood. I think the look in the village of Alloway has been very well protected. I've known a lot of other developers that have built in this area, and you've dealt with the issues with gas stations. You've dealt with the issue with banks. I know the North Shore Bank was a major project of change. And that's all on your main corridor here. So when you do get to that point, when you do your architectural designs and engineering, I'm hoping that's given, do you have architectural design board here in the village? So you do the approval of the architecturals? Looks?
To some extent.
Okay. Do you have a code that I can go online and see what the code is or how it's addressed?
You could, yeah.
There is. Okay. Then
but it's not what you're thinking. It's not a certain percentage of gabled roofs versus flat roofs versus different material. I mean, we look at materials.
Just an architectural look and stuff like that?
Pretty general.
Okay. I mean, I know a lot of buildings have had to be changed because you've requested that here. And so that's just a personal preference. It's not something in writing.
In the plan development district, there's a lot of flexibility as to what the architectural standards can be.
Which this would be the rezone to a plan development?
History.
Okay, and then I think my last comment, I guess, would be the odors. I've gone up to a lot of restaurants that are cooking, and you can smell beef, you can smell hamburgers, you can smell that, where we addressed smell last year at this time, and I think we were pretty well convinced that there wouldn't be an odor the way it was being addressed with the hops and things like that, but I don't think with your venting and all those codes that are required around a restaurant, you're going to be able to protect that. I think my homeowners right behind them are going to smell food quite a big, large portion of the day and night, and I think that should be considered as something to seriously look at also. I see it being objectionable. It's not appropriate for that area, and it's not appropriate for that subdivision behind there. So with that said, unless there's questions of me, I think those are my comments.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me address it.
Any additional comments, or can we move on?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'm concerned that this is a straight zoning issue. It should not be a PDD. Is there a reason why this is a PDD? I was curious as to why this is even here as a PDD instead of a approval for a site plan. It's my understanding that the village has been using the plan development district process to circumvent the zoning code, and that's a problem. They've done it numerous times. I've asked to see the applications on the PDD process. It's simply a way of saying that Alloway's zoning code has failed. We're currently rewriting our zoning code because of these complaints before, but a large number of PDDs have been put in place simply to get around the zoning code. They did it on Old Chapel Hill with the apartments, putting apartments into a commercial area. They did it on the Old Town and Country property to rezone some commercial property residential. And I see it going on right here. If it's a single parcel that we're trying to sell, the Village of Alloway, Old Village Hall site, it should be a complete package. You shouldn't be splitting off a little bit of land for whatever reason that you want to split it off. I had said last year that the village should simply give that extra land to the developer and let him develop it. The village will come up well ahead financially by allowing the developer to put in a site that makes sense financially than trying to sell it for the next 10 years. The village is very, very bad at selling real estate. They have a very horrible track record on selling real estate. So what I see here is the way that this is getting around the zoning code is that on a normal zoning issue, that site would be required to have stormwater detention. It doesn't. There's no stormwater detention on the site. There's no stormwater detention as part of the planned development district. You moved it off onto the village-owned property and then shrank the village-owned property, and you're going to tell the village that, tell all the taxpayers that we're going to sell that for a lot of money. Just by looking at that stormwater pond, I can see it's on the next-door neighbor's land, which is great if you're the owner. Move all my excess costs over to the next-door neighbor and let them take care of it. That site is no longer a very desirable site. So what I would suggest is that the village give them the full 60 feet, let them put the stormwater detention pond wherever they want. They'll be able to sell off a small pad to maybe a small business of some kind and get it back on the tax rolls. But it should not be a PDD because you're using the PDD to circumvent the zoning code, and that's not allowed in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to return to regular session. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Sure.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are back in regular session for Plan Commission discussion. So there was a few themes that we talked about at the previous meeting we had a year ago. One of them is trash screening, of course, and what we're planning on doing with trash screening. This does create a little bit more complexity as far as, you know, grease holding. I don't know if you're planning on having the grease within the structure itself somewhere or in a garage. I'm not sure you wouldn't want it outside. The grease bins that come from the restaurant, it's pretty standard, I hope.
I can address some of that if you like.
You're planning on screening it and you're planning on having it contained?
Right. Yeah, okay. Trash is shown upper right-hand corner of the site.
Okay.
We had all the stormwater management up in there, and in negotiating just benefit of the entire area, including the portion 60 feet to the south, that's why the stormwater moved was so we could get access to that site. We don't care where the stormwater is. I mean, it can be on our property, it can be on their property. We just want what's best for the developer.
Okay.
I'm just really curious as to why the whole site isn't being sold to them. I mean, the small parcel seems to me to be an impossibility, very slim chance of getting. I mean, I wasn't in any negotiations. I don't know up to this point, but I'm really concerned about the small parcel, about the stormwater. I think it's a good project. I think it's a good idea, and I think that the whole parcel should be in there, and then let that developer, you know, develop a smaller off of it if they want. But I don't know at this stage if there's something else that can be changed. But it really concerns me that just that 60 feet with a storm detention pond in the back with, you know, agreements is going to be another 10 years of just sitting there. So. I don't know if at this point, you know, I like the project. I think it should be moved forward. There's a lot of ifs, and nobody's going to be able to answer them here. And we really should move it forward and get more concrete answers and get discussions. But I really think part of the discussion should be that the whole parcel should be just one parcel and should be just put out there to be developed and have the village out of it owning that small parcel.
Okay.
I would agree with that as well. I think that if this parcel sat this long, we're probably looking at the same sort of a much smaller parcel that has stormwater on it. So I guess I would agree with this one.
I agree also. I think it's less likely to be sold now the way it's been presented to us. There are a couple other parcels around the village that are long and narrow and have been for sale for a long time, and this will just add to it. And I think it should be cleaned up. It should be made one. It should be joined with the others.
Question I have for the architect. Is there any potential that that could be used as overflow parking? I see that you have 83 stalls, but like on a busy Saturday, I could see, you know, a full restaurant, full brewery.
But the initial, when it was initially presented, the brewery was set in a way that the brewery could almost increase by twofold in terms of its size. And yes, the additional property allowed then additional parking and other things like that to occur simultaneously. The whole site certainly is usable by the project you see before you. Again, that's something that I guess there may be further discussions on, but it's possible that with the items discussed, that is a developable parcel. I don't know of interest and so forth, but it is a developable parcel. There, I'm sure, would be people who would like the idea of being arranged there on Webster in a location where, you know, they're sharing parking and sharing stormwater costs rather than taking it all on themselves.
But that's what makes it so unorthodox, because if it is developable and it is marketable, then why wouldn't you want it?
It comes back to the size of the entire project and getting the bank to be comfortable with it. Now we've got another variable unknown that the bank needs to take on, and that's really what's probably driving most of your concerns. Is the bank likes to see a certain size project and certain amount of investment, so you've got a builder and an owner of the brewery, so you've got two people. The builder's taking care of the restaurant, the brewery is being taken care of by the Malcolms. There's no third party to handle that third thing yet, so the banks are going to be very uncomfortable and will delay the project further.
Okay, I mean, and that's fine. We just call a spade and decide and say what the problem is, because, you know, we don't want to look like we overlooked that, that third parcel, because it is going to be a challenge. I mean, as much as we say that it is marketable, it is going to be a challenge. The village is going to, in a way, subsidize the stormwater management while the property is going to be in private hands, while that parcel is still in the village's control, unless there's going to be some agreement, whereas until the property is sold, the village is not going to be paying for the maintenance of a stormwater retention pond that was not necessary until the private development took place. But for the private development, you did not need a retention pond. Now we do. So I understand this, and it's not going to stop the project from going forward. But it certainly is something that should be thought out and maybe discussed a little bit more.
And I think the assessments for how the stormwater maintenance is handled will probably not be by square footage. It'll be by need. So if the smallest site is all grass, there's very little need for stormwater management. The cost of all of that goes down, too.
The village's property, there's no need.
Not right now. And so
right.
That need goes up when it becomes developed.
Right.
So one scenario is that you don't necessarily pay for the maintenance of it strictly by that. You can figure out some other ways to arrange that. But I think the developers here and the village can do that in a way that satisfies both parties and is fair to both parties.
I have confidence in our staff. I'm just bringing it up that as a resident and seeing it as a concern. Mike?
The other comment is we're trying to do everything we can to make sure it's marketable down the road, because with our easement and giving a cross easement, and we are looking at, we want to be able to, whatever moves in would be shared parking. We're hoping it's something that's 9 to 5, and then we can use the parking at night and weekends. So we're trying to work and get everything up front, so it's a win-win for everybody.
So it's all clear for the party that they're not coming into complications. The complications are already solved.
Correct. That's the word.
Absolutely.
We want to get up front and right up.
Okay.
With the easements.
Okay. Any other comments from commissioners or staff? Or looks like we'll let you comment. That's fine. John, if you want to.
Yeah, with the other I guess my question would be side yards. What would be the minimum side yards on that vacant parcel? Are you 10 and 10 or 20 and 10 or?
I believe commercial is 10. Six. Yes, it is six.
It's 10 on the back line.
Yep.
Six on the sidelines, if it's commercial adjacent.
Even though it's the next door neighbor, so the other one would be six?
Correct.
So you're looking at 12 feet off of the 60, which gets you down to 48 feet then.
No, the thought is that by making the shared use of the parking in that, you wouldn't want a buffer between that and the business that's going to be to the south. So that allows an extra ability to have that a whole 54 feet rather than only 48 feet.
Is that because it's a PDD?
Correct. Plan development.
So that's a good point, though. So is this third parcel going to be named within the PDD?
No.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of issues that are floating yet. I don't mind
can it
addressing
be?
Them, but...
It could be, yes. And I think the development of that site would also have to go through a PDD process itself.
Right. So if it could be, it's just something to think about. I'm not saying you have to do it, but something to consider.
It's just it's challenging because we don't have a necessarily a set building footprint for that site yet, without knowing a tenant.
I think it's enough to know that there's going to be shared parking.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think your restaurant demand on square footage is going to be a lot more than the 83 that you've got there. We'll check that later when you get further in your plans, but that would be my first comment was I don't think you're going to meet your safety parking requirements with the uses that you got. The restaurants are pretty high demand.
Okay. So I think the developer and staff have heard quite a few comments on what we're looking for. Again, this is concept, so we're, you know, that's what we're here to do tonight is concept. Done?
Are you done? This restaurant, is this a 7-day-a-week operation, sir?
Yes.
7 days a week?
Yeah.
And is the beer going to be allowed in your restaurant? Is that part of the proposal?
Yes. The restaurant that's moving in serves alcohol, but less than 15% of their business is alcohol and beer. That's why they feel it's such a good fit working with the developers.
Okay. Again, commissioners, any additional comments, or else I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. That's approved. Thank you for coming and listening and taking some notes back. Item number 9, report discussion regarding village projects and properties update.
So just to report on a few different projects we've been working on. The property that you saw last time that you reviewed, that condominium project at 3010 Riverside Drive, that has received final approval by the village board. So that is in the process of going through the final permitting for DNR and stormwater and everything else like that. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that property on 535 Green Avenue, the pump house, is back on the market. So we're looking to sell it. We did have to, our building inspection department did have to put a condemnation order on the door because of the last major snow event we had. Did do the final number on the roof over the garage. So it did drop the roof there. It was already coming in a little bit, but it dropped it by another about a foot and a half. So
what happens then? I mean, what, you know, realistically, what happens? It can't be raised, correct, because it's a protected building.
It's uncharted territory for the village. We're going to definitely have to reach out to other municipalities and just kind of understand how to work through it. I think the village may have to face the option of either tearing it down or repairing the roof. I know there is something in the state statutes that if it's over 90% of the cost of the building, that you are allowed to remove that restrictive covenant or whatever. And I don't know if that's exact wording, but it's something along those lines. And so that's something that obviously we're going to have to investigate further, but we just don't know the answers at this point.
Before we move forward with tearing it down or repair, is it possible to have it sold just minimally, just if somebody's willing to take all that on?
Certainly. Is that an offer?
But then they would face the same problems of whether if they wanted to raise the building or not, correct? Because it'd be protected.
Yeah. I think what the building inspector is, the intent for the condemnation is obviously the safety. So I think if there's a plan in place, I think whether that be a plan from the village or a plan from a future buyer, I think he would be okay with that as long as everyone's protected. Obviously, you don't want anyone going in that building as is, or going in that section of the building as is, because roof could come in.
Right.
Has there been any interest from anyone?
There has been interest. The building is very sound, and I think that's also works towards its detriment as well, because the walls are 12 feet of poured concrete, so, or 12 inches, I'm sorry, wow.
12 feet's a lot.
But 12 inches of poured concrete. So it's with the exception of the garage roof, it also has a concrete roof. So very sound building, but very challenging when you want to do plumbing or anything like that, or even some minor demolition. Very challenging and costs add up pretty quickly.
Okay.
So moving on to the next project, and I only bring this up because I think in item number 10 we'll touch on it, but the proposed project at condo project at 2222 Riverside Drive, the Braeburn Condominiums. We've contacted the property owner and the developer, and hopefully that will be coming, the plans will be coming before the Plan Commission within this summer at some point. But I bring that up because of the trail access that I'll kind of touch at on item number 10. And then the last item I wanted to bring up is the zoning code RFP. We're in the process of reviewing the five proposals we received, and hopefully we'll have a recommendation to the Planning Commission by next month or relatively soon.
Good. Item number 10, report discussion regarding standing committees.
So the only committee I have an update for is the Parks, Rec, and Forestry Committee. At the last meeting, they talked about, number one was striping of roadways, bicycle striping. And Angie, I don't know if you want to touch base a little bit more on that, but I believe with my conversations with our parks director that they just discussed the overall possibility of striping the roads for bike lane signage. And I think the major north-south corridors were maybe talked about the priorities.
Correct.
And that this would be something the Parks Committee might recommend as a future budgetary item or something.
Can I ask, I'm just curious as to why that was sent to the Park Committee. because that's an that's transportation infrastructure, and that, to my understanding, would be part of Public Works. And so I'm just curious as to why the park committee is deciding what's going on the road. I mean, I saw that in the notes from the park committee, and I was just curious as to why it's not under Public Works, because it's not recreation, it's transportation, and that's where it belongs. I mean,
I think it's a combination of both recreation and, I mean, it's obviously going to be on public infrastructure on the roadway, so it'll be used primarily as transportation, but connecting different recreational corridors like the East River Trail and Fox River Trail. I would assume that ultimately it would have to go to the Public Works as well. I think this was an item that a committee member brought up, and so that's why it was discussed at the Parks Committee. But
yeah, and I mean, I don't care which committee gets it, or you know, but I just want it to be not thought of as a well, this is, it's only recreation, and it's not important part of the transportation infrastructure, that we need to be treating it the same as we treat where the cars go, that we need to be taking it seriously, and taking it seriously as part of the transportation infrastructure.
Right. I know our former Public Works Director, Craig Barron, before he left, I had discussed with him different options, and there are different options of striping, and I think as the Parks Committee discussed, it's something that we don't necessarily have in the budget as well, but something that we could increase. But again, from what I understand from our former Public Works Director, and our current one might have a different opinion, is that the most affordable option would be maybe contracting with another municipality. I know the City of Green Bay, for example, just purchased a striper for their for that specific use. So yeah, and Brad said they do ours already. So, I mean, it's something that we'll investigate further. What I'm getting is something that we'll investigate further and likely bring to other committees.
Okay.
The other item that they discussed at the Parks Committee last time was the access to the different trails. And so that's why I brought up the project, the Braeburn Condominiums project. I think it was discussed at the Parks Committee that any new development should be looked at as opportunity to access the Fox River Trail. And that's something certainly that we can, that I have, Brad and I have mentioned to the property owner of Braeburn, and he is actually is considering, but it's something that the Plan Commission is more than welcome to discuss with them as well when it comes before the Plan Commission. And also, I believe our Parks Director has been in discussions with Brown County as far as where St. Francis Park is there, and allowing, and they are open to the idea of a potential connection there at some point in the future, but we just have to obviously get them to that point, get them to that connection point.
Got to get somebody to connect eventually here.
Yes.
Would you handle that through, like, the easement process then with the individual landowners?
Yeah, I think that would be the best way, is some sort of easement. The challenging part to consider is the grade in that area, and I haven't necessarily been given a clear answer, but I guess I haven't researched it far enough either, but whether or not that connection has to be ADA compliant, I don't know.
There'll be switchbacks, right? You just need to put in switchbacks?
Yeah, switchbacks, I guess, if there's room.
Sure.
You know, So, I don't know. I guess it's something to consider with every project. Definitely something that we're looking into as well, but
Is there also an interest in that condominium area of what exactly is Brown County and the DNR property, and what is their property and what they're using? Because I know that in that area there's easements where the trail has been moved and stuff. I just wanted to make sure that before it's even brought to us that the property owners like know that and are working with BronCon, because it takes a long time with the DNR to get those kind of easement and connection kind of things, that they're aware of those and that they're looking at those as part of the, what they're doing.
They're
not trying to put their parking lot on top of where the you know DNR property.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Any other committee updates?
This is in reference to the North Crossing near Marine Street. There are three permits that we needed to get from the DOT and then one from the DNR. So we've been working through those permit processes and we'll be able to get that completed soon. Again, it's just it's the permitting aspect that, you know, from a sign permit to a crosswalk permit to the flashing beacon, that's the three from the DOT alone. And they're all three separate. So it does take some time and coordination, but
Ken,
working forward, they're pushing ahead and hope to have that connection done soon.
Is the rapid flashing beacon going to be allowed there? I know there was some.
I think it's back to be allowed.
Okay. Can I ask one more question about the sidewalks around Webster School? Is that project moving forward?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's all set to begin once school's out.
Okay.
Great. If there's nothing else, we'll move on to item number 11, next meeting date and future agenda items. Do you think Zimbaldi will be back?
Yes.
I don't have any other ideas except for whatever comes forward.
You know, the recommendation, hopefully, for the rewrite.
Yeah. Anything else anybody wants to see on the next agenda? What's the date?
The 25th. June.
Okay, great. Item number 12, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. A motion?
So moved.
Two motions? Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, sorry.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned. No, I'm just.